Thank you, John. Good morning. Nice to see everyone this morning. It's nice to know that you're saved, you know that? And going to heaven, because someday it's going to be here. We're going to leave this planet Earth. I want you to turn, please, to a couple of verses in John's Gospel, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And then we're going to turn to the Epistle of John, and we're going to read there, first John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. I want to speak this morning about two things. First of all, how to be saved. We know what the question was asked in the book of Acts, what must I do to be saved? Do you know what? In the book of the Gospel of John, we see the word believe. The answer to that question was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you started looking up the word believed in the Gospel of John, it would be mentioned at least 50 times. The word believed would be mentioned 27 times. The word believest would be 3 times. The word believeth be 16 times. And the word believing twice. Almost 100 times in the Gospel of John, we see different variations of the word believed. Did John have something he wanted to tell us? Look what it says in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. It says, John is writing, the disciple of love. He says this, but many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Maybe in the book of John, maybe in the entire Bible. But these are written. Get those words. These are written. John says, I'm writing these things in the Gospel of John. Listen, why? That you might believe. How many times was it mentioned in the Gospel? Probably 100 times. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. If anyone here this morning, you're not saved, you want to start reading the Bible, you don't know where to start, please start reading in the Gospel of John. Because John says here, I have written this book to prove to you that this man, Jesus, is the one we must put our trust in. He says, I know him personally, and I'm asking you to believe in him. So first of all, we see there the word believe. Turn to the epistle of 1 John chapter 5. The epistle of John, and of course, is written by the same person. John wrote 5 books of the Bible. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he wrote Revelation. This was a man who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when you look in the Gospel of John, you see 5 times where it says, the one whom Jesus loved. Now, did the Lord Jesus love John better than anyone else? No, it wasn't. But you know why he said that? Because it was John's intention to get to know the one that died for him. And in fact, it says once that he reclined even on the very breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they met around to eat food in the evening, he reclined upon the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made sure he was there. Why? Because he wanted to get to know this one who died on the cross. You know what? When he reclined on the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ, he could feel the heartbeat and he could feel the warmth of that man called Jesus Christ. How close do you want to get to him? Look what it says in 1st Epistle of John. I want you to notice the word know, because the word know in this epistle is mentioned 27 times. And the word knoweth is mentioned 6 times. What is John trying to get across to us? He's speaking now to Christians, those who have believed, and he wants us to know that we're saved. You can know that you're saved. And there's many people today who profess to be Christians and they have doubts of their salvation for many different reasons. Some maybe because we're not reading enough. We're not praying. We're not drawing close to the Lord. We're not living lives that are proper to the Lord. And so we have doubts. My oldest sister, after she was saved, she doubted her salvation for many years. Because she said this, maybe I didn't have enough faith to believe. Maybe I had the wrong kind of faith. Do you know what the Lord says, even as a grain of mustard, to believe? The Lord says this out, he puts this all out in front of us, and all he asks us to believe, not to behave, he asks us to believe. And then he will take up his residency inside of us, and he will teach us how to behave. But we must first believe. And so we see in 1 John chapter 5, listen to what it says. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Listen to these words. These things have I written unto you. He's saying again, this is why I'm writing this epistle to you. Why? And now listen to who he's writing to. These things have I written unto you that believe. He's speaking to Christians, those who have believed. He said, on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that what? You have eternal life. And that by believing, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see the word know? People say, well, how can I know? Did you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart? Are you saved? We're going to look back in one little passage where some people, there are professors out there that say, I believe. But they have never confessed their sins. They've never come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God asks us to do. So we see there, first of all, in the Gospel of John, how can I be saved? We see the word believe mentioned almost 100 times. How can I know I'm saved? In the Epistle of John, he says, how can I be sure of my salvation? John says, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. And you must have eternal life, by the way. And eternal life is God's kind of life, and it only comes from God, and you must have it in order to enter into his heaven. You know that? No other way. And eternal life comes from God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And you must have it to get into God's heaven. That is God's kind of life. And that's what he gives to us the moment we accept his Son as our Savior and Lord. We're going to go back to the Gospel of John. Oh, and what I want to look for, if we have time, but there's going to be five birthmarks in the Epistle of John that shows us a person is born again. Because, and in each one, you're going to see these little three little words, born of God, born of God. We're going to see the birthmark of confession. Prove that you're born of God. Confession, confess who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Confess God the Father, God the Son. They go together. We cannot divide them. Birthmark of confession, the birthmark of change. There must be a change in your life when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Change. Total change. Why? Because now you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. You have a brand new life within you. You have a brand new leader. You have a brand new destiny. Thirdly, the birthmark of compassion. A sign that others may see that we love the Christians, at least. And it should be extended out to the world. We should love them too. Number four, birthmark of conflict. Conflict. We have enemies in this world. One is the world. That is the enemy that's all around us. The flesh, that is the enemy that's right inside of us. And we all know that. And the devil, that is the one from beneath who is against us. And in this epistle, we also see Antichrist, that is people who are among us, who do not believe that Christ is God. The last one is a birthmark of conduct. Those that are truly saved will not continually, habitually sin. Cannot habitually, continually sin. Over and over and over and over. Let's go back to John's Gospel, chapter 1, for a moment. We're going to go back. How can I be saved? How can I be saved? John chapter 1 for a few moments, and then we're going to go to John chapter 3. John chapter 1. We want to read verse 11 to verse 13. Listen to what it says. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Who is he? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world. He was born into a Jewish family, and they received him not. Neither did any of the other creatures, other people whom he made. How do we know that? Well, they crucified him, didn't they? And I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ came this morning into this world, what would happen to him? They would probably crucify him again. Listen to what it says. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Look at the next verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right or the power to become the child of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's that word again, believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, that is family influence, which were born not of the will of the flesh, that is human intentions, which were born not of the will of man, that is fleshly impulses. Listen to these last two words, but of God. Remember we said eternal life comes from God. You can only be born again from above or of God through Jesus Christ. Let's go back to verse 12. But as many as received him. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? What does that mean to receive him? Many people, we have a mental assent who Jesus Christ is. You say, oh, yeah, I believe that. He came to the earth. Wayne and I were down at Cambridge last weekend, and we were speaking down there, and there was a young lady after. She was an exchange student from Germany. She said she was taught that everyone's going to heaven. Jesus Christ died for our sins, but everybody's going to heaven. Now stop for a moment and think about that. You see the world today? Is it a lovely place to live in? There's some beautiful spots in there, geographically. Would you want all this to go back up to heaven? What would be the sense of this if this everybody in this earth that went up the way they are right now up to heaven? That doesn't make sense, does it? Heaven is a place of holiness. And if you read in the book of Revelation chapter 19, it says, nothing that defileth will enter therein. No abominations and anything, anybody who lies will enter into God's heaven. This young girl, her father is a minister back in Germany. And he said, you know what? Just don't argue with those people, but don't listen to them. He said, everybody's going to heaven. That's what you call false teaching. But as many as received him, he came unto his own received him not. They would not receive him. They did not receive him as a Savior, as a Messiah. But as many as receive him, to them gives he the right to become a child of God, even to them who believe on his name. We know the verse in Revelation chapter 3:20. It's written to the church, but something that we can use for an illustration. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Now, if someone comes to your door, and of course right now we got all kinds of politicians coming to your door. We have election coming up. But let's say there's someone comes and you kind of half liked them or whatever. They come to your door and knock. Now, you're going to go and you look out the window or usually, you know, see who it is. And you have the choice to make whether you want to receive them, open the door and say, come on in, or you leave the door shut, don't you? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted that he died for your sins? Have you accepted that you are a sinner? We were studying in Psalm 32 Wednesday night. A psalm about David when he sinned. And maybe we'll just go read there quickly, Psalm 32, just three of the verses. My friends, this is what we have to do. We have to acknowledge, first of all, that we are sinners. And if we don't, many times we don't even have any clue what to do. Psalm 32, blessed or happy is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, when I kept my sin to myself in here, thinking that God cannot see it. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. The Lord is speaking to people. We all have a conscience, and he may be speaking to you even this morning, convicting you of your sinfulness, your sin. My hand was upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Look at verse 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee. unto who? A priest? Someone else? No, unto the Lord God. And mine iniquity have I not hid. We can't hide things. Don't try to. And I said, I will confess. You know what the word confess means? It means to name it. It means to take ownership of. I confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Have you ever done that before the Lord? Because that's when you will receive Him. When you're convicted of your sin. And you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I know your Son died for my sins. And I accept that. And I want forgiveness. And I want Jesus Christ in my life so that I can follow Him. I can follow Him. And that's why we say the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We don't see the sheep leading the shepherd. We see the shepherd leading the sheep. And the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We need a shepherd. When we acknowledge our sins, we can make confessions. We claim it to ourselves. We claim it as our own. Lord, I am a sinner. I know you see that. I know you know that. And I'm coming to you for forgiveness. And the Lord says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But he's waiting at that door. He's knocking. And he's waiting for you to open it and receive him into your life. And he will give you a brand new life. And you will be changed from the inside out. Not putting on new clothes, perfume, getting your hair combed. No, from the inside out. A brand new life. The Spirit of God, which you ladies have been being taught about over the weekend. The Spirit of God being indwelt by the Spirit of God. Part of the divine nature right within you that is ready to lead you and guide you, to strengthen you, encourage you, to show you in the Word of God. Open this book up that you used to be blinded to, but now I can see. So we see there you cannot be born again. Look at verse 13. Not born by human descent. Not born again by human desire. Not born again by human design, but of God. That's what it says, the last two little words, but of God. Let's turn over to John chapter 3. We see it talking about being born again, born of God. I want you to read in at verse 23 of chapter 2. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says. He says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name. Listen to this now. When they saw his miracles, which he did. Does that mean they're believers? Listen to what it says. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Why? Because he knew all men or all mankind. We see the word men in the Bible doesn't mean just men. It means women, young people, mankind. And need it, he says, and he needed not that any should testify of man. Why? For he knew what was in man. He knows what's in your heart right today. He knows what's in my heart. He knew what was in my heart 36 years ago. He knows if you're serious. He knows if you have a desire to be saved. He knows if you want to be live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows all your sin. And maybe you're sitting here today and maybe Satan is saying, you know what, you did some sins that were absolutely atrocious, and you know what? God can never forgive them. That's untrue. We were just talking, read a psalm, Psalm 32, about King David. A King David who was said he was a man after God's own heart. But what happened to King David when he got off track? Like you and I can sometimes. And we don't ask you to do this. He was on the housetop and he saw a beautiful lady having a shower. And what if it's lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh? In the pride of life. He brought that lady over and had an affair. She had a husband was out fighting David's war. Come back home. And David wanted to send her husband home to her so that things would be covered up, if you will. But that didn't happen. Because the husband was loyal to the king. And so what happened, he had to think up things in his mind and he had to murder that man to get him out of the way. Did the Lord know what was going on? Yes, he did. Did he spare David? Yes. He confessed his sins. And thank God in the Epistle of John, you and I as Christians, we have that verse in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that doesn't give us license to sin. We're back in chapter 3, and we see here a story about people who many believed in his name when they saw the miracles. You know what? There's a lot of people who enjoy the environment of a Christian environment. Many people love the church environment. They don't care so much for the world. They love to be in the environment. It's like the man who went to that wedding, but he wouldn't put on garment on the wedding garments. They like to be around people who think well and have morals and so on, but they themselves, they don't want to become too heavenly-minded because they may not be any earthly good. And so, you know what they do? They put the Lord off like that. Yes, I love all the miracles. I love all the things about the Lord, but I don't want to have a personal relationship with him. And that's what we're speaking about here. But look what it says in verse 1 of chapter 3. And you could put this, but there was a man of the Pharisees. Now, this man of the Pharisees was an intellect. He was a religious man, but he was a religious wreck. Because you know what? We just said about someone who did not understand. Someone who did not understand, because the Lord is going to say that right to him. Look what it says. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered, and he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, and that again means born from above, born of God, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You notice that little word he said, you cannot see? Could Nicodemus see? Because look what Nicodemus said the next thing. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again? He was religious right up to here. He knew the Old Testament. He was an intellect. Tremendously smart young man, but he could not see because he was spiritually blind. He could not understand what the Lord was talking about. When the Lord said, except the man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, how can that be? How can a man be born again? And look what the Lord says in verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. I believe that word water speaks of the Word of God. It also is a relationship to the Spirit of God. Except a man be born of the Word of God and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If you're not saved this morning, first of all, you're blinded. Of heaven, spiritual things. And if you're not saved this morning, you're not born again, you're blocked from entering into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because you're not born again. And born again, we know what a birth means. It means a brand new life. When a little child is born, it's a brand new life. And the Lord was taking a physical application. He was making it into a spiritual one. He says, you must be born again. He was talking about spiritually born again. A brand new life. And he says, except a man be born of the water. And the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What did John say in that verse? He said, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. This book, do you know this book called the Bible? It's inerrant, it's infallible, and it is inspired by God himself. You say, yeah, well, it was just men that wrote it. You went to 1 Peter, you know what speaks about the men who wrote this Bible? Probably around 40 authors. It says, holy men of God wrote the Word of God as they were directed or guided by the Spirit of God. What's a holy man of God? Holiness speaks of characteristics of the Lord. The Lord even tells you and I who are Christians, be holy for I am holy. holy men of God. They had characteristics of the Lord themselves. Holy men of God. And if you looked in the Old Testament, Moses five times is called a man of God. Holy men of God. He was one of the authors. He was a holy man of God. Not only were they holy men of God, which a relationship with God, but they were directed, they were guided by the Spirit of God. Did you ever see a sailboat and the wind blows on it? It pushes it along, doesn't it? It moves it. Yes, the Lord used every one of their personalities, and every one was different, but God used them, and everything was pointed towards Christ from the very beginning of the Word of God right till the end. He was pointing to Christ, the unfolding drama of redemption, the Redeemer. Do you know what? If you went through the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, in every single book, you will see a picture of Christ. Everyone. Every single book of the Bible. What is in Genesis? Seed of the woman. What about Exodus? Passover lamb, mentioned in Corinthians. What about Leviticus? What about the burnt offerings? Wow. Every book of the Bible is a picture of Christ. So nobody can read this book and not go away and say, well, I have no. And yet there's people who read it and are blinded to the truth. The Lord said, except a man be born again, he said to Nicodemus, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then he speaks about the Spirit of God. We must be indwelt by the Spirit of God. God indwells us the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We acknowledge our sinfulness and we ask him to save us. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And he says, the Spirit of God is like the wind. And it was windy the last few days. Could you see the wind? No one could see the wind, could they? But we could certainly see the evidence of wind, couldn't we? We saw branches tore off. We saw shingles tore off. That was the evidence of the wind. That is the same as the Spirit of God. We cannot see it in a person, but we can see the evidence, and that is what we need in a person who's saved. There must be evidence, proof. Except a man be born of the Word and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul in Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, he says two things, two words, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is a changed mind. And the moment we start reading the Word of God and we start agreeing with Him, that is repentance. It's agreement with God. I am a sinner. I have sinned. And I want a Savior. And put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that Christ died for my sins. I believe that. And when he said it's finished, he died for my sins. The Bible says, you and I, the moment we are saved, we have died with Christ. Our sins are buried with Christ, and we come up in newness of life, a brand new life in Christ. And now we're following him. And that's what Christ wants for every man, woman, and child in this planet Earth. He says, you know what, there's three musts in this chapter. We see, first of all, the must of the sinner. He must be born again. He must be born again. The must of salvation, I'm sorry, for the sinner. He must be born again. Down in verse 14, we see the must of the sacrifice. And the Lord took this smart man back to the Old Testament. Numbers 21. Children of Israel. They were whining and complaining after the Lord had delivered them from bondage from Egypt. They were whining and complaining about God, about his servants, Moses and Aaron. And God sent fiery serpents amongst them, and they bit them. And they were what? Dying. A picture of what? Today, we're dying. Even as we walk around physically, we're dead to Christ. And Moses came to the Lord, and the Lord said, he said, Moses, you put a brazen serpent up on a pole, and if any man would look at that pole in that great vast crowd and believe, he said, they will be saved. They will be restored. And so it says in verse 14, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. There's that eternal life again that you must have in order to get into God's heaven. The word believe again. you notice that? Believing, repentance, saying, Lord, yes, you're right and I'm wrong. I accept that your son died for me. I want to live for you. I want a life to be with you. And the last one is a must of must of surrender in verse 30. This is for you and I after we're saved. Listen to what it says. He must increase. Who's he? Christ. He must increase, but I must decrease. What is he saying there? Before we're saved, you know who was on the throne of my life? Me. Me. Me, myself, and I. The moment I get saved, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in Colossians, that he might have preeminence in all things. He must have our throne. He must have the throne, and we must be dethroned. Now we're following a brand new Savior. How can we be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be sincere. Say, Lord, I do believe your son died for me. We go quickly over to the Epistle of John, and we're just going to probably read these verses because I'm not going to go over time and keep you here longer than you should. First John chapter 1 and chapter 5 and verse 1. Birthmarks of a Christian. Birthmarks of a Christian. These are birthmarks. If you're saved this morning, you should have. And in each one, you're going to see these three little words, born of God. Look what it says in chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. What is he saying there? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, he is the anointed one, he is the Messiah, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, who is that? That is God the Father. He is the one who gave his only begotten Son, right? The one who, him that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Who is begotten of him? The Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, what's the big problem with that? We have a lot of people who believe that Jesus Christ was just a man. The Gnostics would say this. At his baptism, Christ came upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ left. And what do we have left? A man who died on the cross. What does that make Jesus Christ? What does that do to our salvation? Are there people in the world today? Yes, there is. I know of some. Some people would say this. Jesus Christ is God's Son, but he wasn't God. And so what we're saying here, we must recognize the deity of Christ, that he is God. He was and he is God. He says, John even starts off his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is he speaking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Philippians, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In John chapter 10, I and the Father are one. So when we start dividing, splitting, my friends, that's not a good sign, is it? So what is he saying? He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe in the deity of Christ? Do you believe it was God in the person of a son, Jesus Christ, who died for you? That's why your sins can be taken away? Because only he could do that. Only he could endure your sins. And we talked about that this morning. Mountains of sins, they were placed upon him. He was judged for the world's sins. Think about that. How many sins do you commit yourself? Billions upon billions of people, their sins were all placed on him, and he bore them on the tree. You know what? You say, that's unfathomable. Can't quite get a hold of that. No, we can't. Because God does not tell us that we need to understand everything, but he does ask us to what? Believe. Why? Because we have a book right in front of us. That's why the importance of the Word of God to every one of us, we need to be reading it. And in the Psalm it says we need to be meditating on it, thinking about it. We need to be studying it. It says in Timothy, we need to be memorizing it. Why? Because it gives us comfort, it gives us strength, and it allows the Spirit of God within us to show us a little bit more what's going on. And that will give us assurance of salvation. That's how we get assurance, from the Word of God. That's what we read. First of all, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So let me ask this question. Do you know you're saved this morning? Do you know you're saved? Are you saved? Have you done what the Lord asked you to do? And can I be sure of my salvation? Yes, you can be sure. But you need to be saved first. You know what? I can't save you. All I am is a little nobody trying to tell you about somebody. I'm just a messenger. And the Spirit of God is the one who convicts. And we need to answer when He calls us. And He may be calling you this morning. He says, Brian, Bob, Jim, whatever your name is, you know what? You need to be saved this morning. I'm willing to save you. I'm right here. You know, we talk about the world today, and it's a very busy world, isn't it? Busy, busy, busy. Do you know who wants to keep us busy? Satan. Let me give you a little acrostic word with the word busy. B-U-S-Y. Being under Satan's yoke. Being under Satan's yoke. Who's the prince of the power of the air? Satan. Who's the god of this world, small g, who blinds the mind of them? Satan. Do you know that? B-U-S-Y. Let me give you an alternative to that. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and my burden is light. Now, whose yoke are you under? You say, what is a yoke? Maybe some of the young people don't know. Back years ago, people used to plow with oxen. They'd have a yoke, a round thing around their neck that came against their shoulders, and then there was a stick or something over to another oxen on the other side. That was a yoke of oxen. And they picked and chose those two oxen that they would be about the same size, and they had the same gait or same walk, so they could step together, walk together. And they certainly would not put a donkey in with an ox, would they? Because it would be very uneven. And probably the old donkey would stick in his hoofs in the ground. Satan wants to keep us busy. He wants to keep us under his yoke. He wants to, three, four or five things about Satan. He's, first of all, a deceiver. We see that in the garden, don't we? He's a discourager to the Christians. He's a divider of homes. He's called a destroyer in Revelation. And it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is one of your enemies, by the way. And he is real. And the Lord says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy, weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You know what it says in Amos? Can two walk together except they be agreed. My friends, when we start walking with the Lord, our burden will be a lot lighter. We'll have peace, joy, gentleness. You guys heard about the fruit of the Spirit yesterday. That's what the Lord wants in your life. We're not going to even get to half of these. I'm going to read the verses. We're not going to comment on them. Change, birthmark of change, 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. It says this, if you know that he is righteous, that is the Lord, we spoke about that this morning, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. There's that word again, born of God. Remember we said about those people who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, there must be a change in their lives. Must be a change in their lives. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. My friends, righteousness is a characteristic given to us from God. If we're saved, we are made righteous by Christ's death on the cross. That should make us want to live a righteous life. We should not want to offend the Lord. Why? Because we're reading. We're praying. The Spirit of God is in us. We have a new life. Why would we want to offend him? And what does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We are a brand new creature. A lot of people say, well, I got saved. I'm not going to hell, so that's good. I'll just live my life. That's not what the Lord wants. The moment you're saved is a brand new life. It's a brand new journey, and God wants to lead you and guide you. He wants you to feed on the Word of God. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God wants you to feed. You feed yourself food. I do too. And sometimes too much. For our health. For our physical living. So what about our spiritual? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need to feed the spiritual, my friends, by the Word of God. It's inerrant, infallible, and inspired by God. He wants to make you strong as a Christian. He wants to give you comfort. He wants to take care of you. But He's not going to beat you over the head. It's your choice. Birthmark of compassion. I'm just going to read the verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. This is another sign of someone who was born again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. One of His attributes, God is love. That should be one of our characteristics, love. It also says in verse 11, chapter 4, verse 11, listen to what it says. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Do we love the Christians? Or do we like to keep them at a distance? Because maybe our life isn't really that great. One more birthmark of conflict. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Do you know we're saved by faith? But it says three times in the epistles, in Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews, the just shall live, the righteous shall live by faith day to day. We need to trust the Lord. We need to be calling upon Him. Last one, birthmark of conduct, 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Oh, you say, oh, so that's sinless perfection? That's not what it means. Listen to what it means. It means he does not habitually, continually sin. Because you know what? Even Christians, we sin. That doesn't give us license to sin. But if someone continually does the same sin over and over and over and over, and it doesn't convict them one bit. Something wrong there. It says, whosoever is born of God. Why? Because it says in verse 18 of chapter, because that we have that seed that has been planted, a new life right within us. Again, we go back to the Spirit of God. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And by the way, if you're not saved, you go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light. If you look that chapter, you see darkness and you see light and comparison. Those who are in darkness are not saved. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, past, present, future. We were singing a song. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. For you and I who are saved, do you know what? That blood of Calvary, it continually cleanses us. It's on a continual basis. That's what that verse means. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, continually cleanses those who are saved. We say, amen. Thank the Lord for that. I know I thank Him for that. Wow. And then, of course, as the Christians, yes, we sin, but He says, okay, come and name them. Remember what He said? Confess means to take ownership, to name it. If we confess our sins, Lord, I am doing this, and I know it's wrong. Help me. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Name it. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He already knows if we're sincere or not, doesn't He? He knows if we're sincere or not. And he says this in Proverbs, and I'll leave it here. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. We need to confess them. We need to forsake them, not to habitually, continually continue in a sin. Because you know what? That puts up question marks. We pray the Lord speaks to hearts this morning. And if you're not saved, believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe not about him. Believe in him and on him. Experience him. Have a personal relationship like John did. And if you are saved and you have doubts, read the Word of God. And say, Lord, help me. And here I read in the Epistle of John that I may know that I have eternal life. I want to know that for sure. And as you read the Word of God, he will give you comfort. He will give you assurance that you are saved. You're living for him. Let's close in prayer. Father, we bow in your lovely Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for saving us, those of us who are saved. We thank thee for opening our eyes. We thank thee, Father, that we even read about Nicodemus later in John's Gospel, chapter 7 and chapter 20, that he did come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. Help us, Father, not to hide from the Lord. Help us, Father, not to hide our sins or try to, because God already sees them. He knows them. Help us, Father, to come forth and, Father, with an open heart, say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Save me from my sins. I want to be forgiven. Father, we pray the Spirit of God would speak to hearts even this morning. Pardon us with thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in your Son's worthy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.